A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Yud Test, Nedarim 19a, pagination is 37. We'll start on the facing page, about 8 lines from the bottom, where the Gemara begins with a question. The Mishnah, which was on the top of the page, told us, Stam Nedarim Lahachmir. When a person makes a statement that can be interpreted in different ways, we're not quite sure what he meant. We have to be strict. And if he was ambiguous, we're going to be stringent in our understanding and say that the vow is binding. The Gemara says, V'atanan, there's a different Mishnah which says, Safek Nezirus Lahakel. When you have a vow of Nezirus, we go leniently if we're not sure how to understand the vow. And the assumption here is that Nedarim and Nezirus are the same. And if you have a vow on yourself to be a Nazir, we're lenient. So why would there be a Mishnah over here that says that vows are strict in their interpretation? Omer Rab Zeira answered, Lo Kasha. Let this not bother you as a question. Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabban, under two different views in how to understand ambiguous wordings. Should we go strict? Should we go lenient? D'tanya, as we learned, that clearly there are two different approaches. In the case of Amaktish Chayoso Ubehemto, a person identifies for Hektish his chayos, which is generally translated as wild animals, and behemto, or his domesticated animals. And the question was, what is the halacha about the kui, a certain type of animal, some say it was a type of buffalo, that's not clear to us whether it is a chaya or a behema. So this person said, either his chayos should be hektish, consecrated, or his behemos should be consecrated, hektish. And whichever one of those wordings he used, the first ruling of the Braisa is hektish es hakui. The kui is going to be included because that's following the opinion of strict interpretation when you were ambiguous. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, however, Rabbi Eliezer says, Lo hektish es hakui, you do not have hektish on the kui. It doesn't apply because, as we're saying, Rabbi Eliezer says that ambiguous wordings are lenient and you did not create a vow if it wasn't clear that you were making a vow. Just in general, you have two different ways of looking at this. On the one end, you're making a vow. You got to make it. It's got to be clear enough that you made the vow. On the other hand, we are dealing with vows. This is very serious. If there's any doubt in our mind that you may have made a vow, we're going to want to be strict. So just in simple terms, there are different ways to look at ambiguous wording. What we do see over here is that there is an opinion of the Tanna Kamma, who is strict in the case of being makdish animals, and says that the kui is going to be something we rule on stringently. And conversely, there's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the kui is not included, and that is going to be the approach of Safek Nezirus Lahakel, that we are lenient when it comes to ambiguous wording by a vow. As the Gemara explains, Manda Omar Mamono Ma'ayil Lisfeka, the opinion that says that he's willing to bring his money into the doubt and he has to observe the vow even regarding the kui, Gufeinami Ma'ayil, it's quite probable, and we see that such an opinion would make the doubtful wording binding in the case of vows, even when it applies to a person. Umanda Omar Mamono Loma Ayalisfeka, and the opinion, that's Rabbi Eliezer, who says that a person does not bring his money into the doubt. And if the vow wasn't abundantly clear, then the property is not included in the vow. So gufe lo kol shekin de lo ma'aya l'sveika, it follows that certainly when it comes to himself, he's not going to make himself bound by a vow that was ambiguous. Person doesn't bind things in an ambiguous way. Rabbi Eliezer says you could be lenient. So going back to our situation over here, the Mishnah at the top of the page told us that we should be strict by an ambiguous wording. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah that says you should be lenient by an ambiguous wording. The Gemara is answering, it's two different opinions. Tanakama, the house opinion, is that you have to be strict. That's the way we paskin. There is also an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which was recorded in the Mishnah. We don't paskin like him, but that's how it's recorded, that there is an opinion that holds ambiguous wording can be lenient. Omale Abaye, Abaye says, I have one problem with what you're saying. B'mayu kimta l'sofek nezirus l'hakel, that Mishnah in Tyrus that you quoted in the Gemara, that we should be lenient by vows of nezirus, k'Rabbi Eliezer, and you wanted to tell me that it follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer in the case of animals, and the kui is not bound by the vow because Rabbi Eliezer says we're lenient. Ema Seifa, I have one problem. Let's go to the end of that very same Mishnah about Nezirus to be lenient, which didn't have a name to it, but you told me it must be Rabbi Eliezer, and that's how you resolved the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Mishnah quoted in the Gemara. Ema Seifa, let's go to the end of that very same Mishnah in Tyrus, where it tells us, Sofek Bechoros, if you have a doubt about a Bechor, a firstborn, which is consecrated on some level from the Torah, Echad Bechorei Adam ve'Echad Bechorei Behema, whether it's a firstborn of a human or it's a firstborn of an animal. In these cases, all have rules to them. You have to redeem them, whatever the rules are. Bein, or give them to the Kohen. Bein Temeya Bein Tahora, whether it's by a Tamei animal or by a Tahar animal. The Tamei animal refers to a donkey that gets redeemed. The sheep firstborn refers to giving it to the Kohen. And the human Bechor certainly is a case of redemption. Hamotzi Mechaveiro Olav Haraya. The rule is, if you're not sure if it's a firstborn, you can be lenient. So, for example, if you bought a female animal from a non-Jew who did not keep track, firstborn, not firstborn, I don't know what your problem is, he can't give you an answer, and now it has a baby, do you have to be concerned that it is a firstborn and that it's not your money? It has to be given to the Kohen or redeemed. So the rule is, we don't extract money from you unless we have a proof. And that's how financial matters go. We leave money in the hands of its holder unless we can prove otherwise. However, there's a little bit of a problem. The problem is, what about the kosher status over here? If you have an animal, for example, that might be required to be given to the Kohen, it has restrictions regarding it. And I understand you don't have to give it to the Kohen because that's a financial matter. But what about the laws like the Yoredeya type laws? V'taniya lo va'asurim begiza va'avoda, and the Braisa indeed tells us that you wouldn't be allowed to shear it and you wouldn't be allowed to work with it. So what you see is that in the end of that same Mishnah that you were telling me is Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why Nezirus vows were lenient, in that very same Mishnah, it goes ahead and says, Hamotzi mechaver olav araya, as far as the financial things go, but it still holds that it's binding on some level, and you're not allowed to shear the animal, even though it's a case of holiness in doubt. Amale, the Gemara answers, Amaika medam is kedusha haba meyelel le kedusha haba bidei adam. You can't compare something that's a holiness from the Torah to a holiness that the human being is creating. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that the human being doesn't create doubtful cases of vows. If it's not clear, it's not binding. If something, however, might have become holy because of a Torah law, just we are not sure, so then you have this anomaly where you don't have to give it to the Kohen because he can't prove it belongs to him, but you're not going to be able to treat it definitively that it's not holy because you don't know. The Torah is what's making it holy. And therefore, on the one hand, Rabbi Eliezer could very well hold that vows are not binding if they're ambiguous. That would be true by Nazirus, it would be true by vows, it would be true when a person tries to consecrate his animals. If it's not clear that this animal, the kui, is included, then it's not binding. However, when you're dealing with a case of a firstborn, where the Torah is what's making it consecrated, so then you could argue, Amotza mechever olav araya, you can't take it from me if you can't prove it. But on the other hand, it is possibly consecrated because this doubt is from a Torah law that we're not sure if it applies over here or not. And therefore, the restriction on shearing the animal would apply. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.